Well, it's good to see everybody here this morning.
And Amen. It's good to be here.
It is good to be anywhere at our age, Mitch. Oh, it is good. And those of you who are listening on the web, we welcome you to our family, too.
Amen.
I guess we ought to take care of the business before we get into the worship. A couple of changes, or one change anyway, to the announcement. Members of the Christmas Display Committee will not meet this morning. They will meet next week, so you don't have that to contend with. There seems to be a little question about whether the Blood Mobile will be at Kimberlin Creek next month or whether it was yesterday that they were here, Mitch?
July,
okay. That's what I thought, but their sign said 16th of June, so.
Yeah, that's what the message on the phone said.
Okay, sounds good to me. Historical Society will not be meeting tomorrow night because just too many rules and regulations and sanitary conditions that we're not set up to meet just at the moment. Ladies Brown Bag Luncheon will meet this Wednesday at 11:30, and you're going to have a guest hostess, is that right, Penny? You're not sure. Nobody's sure, but come and find out. Bring your own brown bag for lunch. All right. Sounds good. Do we have any birthdays this week?
It's not mine, but it's my youngest grandson, Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
It's tomorrow. My son's Wednesday. And my dad would have been 100 Thursday.
Oh, wow.
Quite a good combination. Anybody else? Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you. Anniversaries? We got one. Anybody else? Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
Amen. That
Amen.
Fast,
yes, it did. That was a well. When there's nothing going on for half the year. Do we have anyone we need to add to the prayer list or remove from it this morning? Hello, Bernice, what do you got? She's waving at the baby. That figures. Sheila?
My daughter's friend that she grew up with 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Find out his last name for us.
I know his last name. I just can't get it right now.
Oh. Anyway, Renee, quickly.
My friend, mother passed away yesterday.
Okay.
Name Shirley Hardy.
Shirley Hardy?
Harding.
Harding, okay. The Harding family, Shirley. Okay, Bernice, now what?
I remember
now. Oh, good.
It's bad getting old, you know.
Tell me about it.
George Darnley's wife had lung cancer.
Okay. And her name is?
Yesterday. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Hmm.
Her name is Beverly.
Beverly Gartley.
A-R-T-L-E-Y.
Wow.
For those of you who may not be acquainted with George, he's the one that used to run the karaoke on Friday nights at Leroy's. So Beverly. Mike?
We were a real bad break yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And
Hmm. David, too.
And also Kevin Loy.
Loy?
Yeah, he was driving a buggy yesterday afternoon on the gas road into a group and having a heart attack.
Hmm. Sounds like it. Okay. The crash victims?
Yeah. They call her G. That's all I got.
Well, if you find anything else out, well, let us know offline, okay? Anybody else? All right, then. Let's turn to number 534. Rise up, O men of God. Let's everybody, men and women, rise up and praise the Lord this morning. Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God. His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O men of God. Church for you doth wait. Here strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ. Tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God. Amen. Our prayer hymn is number 174. Open my eyes that I may see visions of truth thou hast for me. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, I will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wind does fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, I will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth, gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, I will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine. Brother Mitch, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father in God, it is such a blessing to know you and to be known by you. Wow, Lord, we wish you a happy Father's Day because you are our Father.
Yes.
Lord, we cannot express enough thanks for all the blessings you've given us, all the teachings you've bestowed upon us, life lessons for us to learn from our Heavenly Father. Guide us, Lord. Open our hearts. Open our minds. Open our ears. Open our mouths and open our hands that we may serve you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. This time, I'd like to ask John Klemick to bring us a special. We understand this one is in honor of Mother's Day. Is that right, John? Since we missed Mother's Day, we're going to include them in Father's Day today.
All women too. peaceful spirit, blessed they with gentle heart. Gentle woman, quiet love, morning star, so strong. Peaceful dove, teach us wisdom, teach us love, teach us wisdom, teach us
beautiful song. Beautiful song.
Amen.
As we continue preparing our hearts for our participation in the communion service, would you like to turn to number 254? Oh, how he loves you and me. Has our meditation and communion prayer this morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Communion is a way for everyone in our church to share and remember a very important event.
Yes.
And it's interesting how many great events started with just a little. From 12 confused and scared apostles came in the day of Pentecost over 3,000 believers.
Amen.
From small tongues of fire came understanding and belief.
Yes.
Here at the table, we celebrate the community of faith that began that day and even now is bound together through such small things as a piece of bread and a sip of juice. Yet Jesus promised that to those who believe, those small things will become a spring of living water flowing from us. So eat and drink, remember the one who is our host, and prepare yourself for great things to come, perhaps even through one another. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these small symbols which call to mind your Son's life of total obedience to you, even to his death. We pray that you will bless us through them to become people of great faith, and because of that, your world will be blessed through our actions. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
When Jesus was gathered in the upper room with his disciples, he took bread and broke it and gave to each of them, saying, This is my body broken for you. Eat ye of it. And likewise the cup after they had eaten. Jesus blessed it and passed it around and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for the remission of sins. Drink of it, all of you." Amen. Let's turn to number 118. This is Father's Day, and told you a couple of weeks ago we're going to be doing this one again. So let's turn to number 118, Faith of Our Fathers.
Abba,
are the clay, the work of your hand. Mold us, mold us and fashion us into the Jesus, your Son, of Jesus, your Son. Abba, Abba, Father, you are the Potter. We are the clay, the work of your hands. Glory, glory and praise to you. Glory and praise to you forever.
Second chapter, verse 3 through 6. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Humility is the fear of the Lord, and its wages are riches in honor and life. In the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their life stay far from them. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it.
Better turn my mic on. Good morning. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Wow. We haven't heard John sing much since he's been here. Now twice in one day. And it was good. Oh, happy Father's Day to all of our fathers, but because we missed Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day to those who, I know you heard me on the air when you were at home, but we want to honor that today too. And don't rush off when we're done here today, because we do have Mother's Day and Father's Day gifts that we will do after we're done with the service on air. So don't take off in a hurry. You know, I remember my father as a disciplinarian, but he was fair. My dad was a very intelligent man, and he was busy a lot with studies, and he had his 30 hours above his master's degree, and all he needed for a PhD was to publish an article, and he refused to do that. He said that he didn't need that. But he did, sometimes in a not so subtle way, remind us when we did something wrong. And when he was finished, you didn't really want to do it again. He introduced you to discipline. And I think that's what today's message is about. It's discipline, but discipline is more than
just spanking. Discipline, the word discipline, means to teach. And it took me a long time to learn that, unfortunately, but now I know. There's more to it than just spanking your child. Teaching is instilling in them the values that they need to carry through life. They need to be taught how to have the character of God. And I think if we look in today's world, especially with all the looting and rioting that's going on, we don't see a lot of that character being displayed right now. So this, I believe, is a very important message, very timely for today. So training our children in the way they should go. And this message is originally by Dr. Woodrow Kroll. I just borrowed it. but we read the scripture, but especially verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So what is our greatest legacy? Investing in our children is the most important investment we ever make. So I want to talk with you about an important verse. Then we'll see how to invest our time in other people, specifically our children and grandchildren. So here's a little biblical study. The Hebrew word for train up in Proverbs 22:6 can also be translated dedicate. The same word is used in 1 Kings 8:63 when Solomon dedicated the temple to the Lord. Isn't that a coincidence? Not. God wants us to dedicate our children to the Lord. And I'm not just talking about a ceremony performed in the church once when the child is an infant, when we make a dedication. But I'm talking about getting up every morning and looking for opportunities to give that child to the Lord that day. And notice the context. Proverbs 22:3 warns us to foresee evil and hide from it. In other words, resist it. Not run away from evil, but resist the evil when we're tempted. And as we do that, we're teaching our children to do that also. Verse 4 says that humility and godly fear bring prosperity to our lives. Verse 5 warns that thorns and snares entangle the perverse, but those who guard their souls are safe. Then comes verse 6, which tells us, train up our children. In other words, we're to instill within them the ability to foresee evil, exercise humility and godly fear, and avoid thorns and snares in their life. If we do, as our children grow older, they will not depart from it. If you train children early in the moral things they need to know, then what you've instilled in them will still be there after they are grown. That's a promise from God that we can bank on. Now, this verse doesn't promise that our children will not wander from the Lord. What it does promise is that if we put the right things in, the right things will be there when our children need them. We should train our children when they're young because, first, they are imaginative. Children are bundles of imagination. I love to watch my grandchildren play. They're in another world all the time. But the same imagination that brings the kind of mischief that little kids get into is the imagination that produces humility and godly fear. 90% of a child's imagination decreases between ages 5 and 7. I'd hate not to use that imagination to spark some innate God consciousness. It's the perfect time to involve yourself in your children. It's a wonderful opportunity to help them to begin well. You know, when you build a house, what do you start with?
Foundation.
Foundation, absolutely. So when you're building a life, what do you start with? A foundation, absolutely. And we're told in the Bible that Jesus is the anchor of our souls. He is the foundation of everything. He is the founder of everything, and therefore the foundation that we build upon. If we can instill the qualities that Jesus wants in our children, then they have an opportunity as they grow older to be more Christ-like than if we just say, oh, you know, this is too hard. Oh, they don't pay any attention to me. Oh, they ignore me. Are you bigger than they are? Do you still have a hand? You can still swat that tail? You know, spanking is not a bad thing. Beating is. Spanking is not. Because sometimes when a child refuses to obey, a spanking is needed. Now, there's times when spanking is not needed. Just a timeout or some other thing that's appropriate, depending on what they've done. But if we start at a very early age teaching them the Bible, teaching them about Jesus, teaching them of the love of God, and showing them the love of God by living it ourselves in front of them, then they're less likely to be as rebellious as children. And as they get into their teenage years, they may still become somewhat rebellious, but they probably will not be as rebellious as if they didn't know the Lord and His love. The second reason we should start with our children early is because they are teachable. Children have just about everything in life to learn. You can't walk, can't talk. You start early. One of the things they need to learn is how to live before the Lord. They need to know about the thorns and snares, about humility and the fear of the Lord. Don't be afraid to instill the morality of God's word into your kids. If you don't do that, by the time they go off to school, somebody else will be needing to take over the job and teach them something else. You know, I know one pastor who, when his children were infants in the cradle, you know how we play music sometimes, a little musical box and things to soothe the child? He played the Bible. He played the Bible for them. Had the Bible on CD and let it play while they were in their crib. You know, when that child grew up, you'd be amazed at how much scripture they can just quote. You just recall it and quote it. It just blew my mind. What an idea. What an idea. The third reason to teach them and train them while they are young is because they are a garden for Satan's cynicism. If we don't invest in our children when they're young, they will become cynical because Satan will find ways to take over their little minds. I remember a story by the English preacher William B. Riley. He was taking a vacation on the premises of a Scottish sheepherder. His host met him at the station, but the drive to the ranch was somber. The old shepherd finally said, "I lost 65 of my best lambs last night. The wolves got in." Riley expressed grief over the loss and then asked how many total sheep the wolves killed. The shepherd looked surprised and said, "You don't know. A wolf never takes an old sheep when he can get a lamb." Satan is looking for the lambs, my friends. You can end your life well by helping them begin theirs well. Don't miss the opportunity. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If your children are older, I can tell you that it's not too late to do the right thing. Your influence may not be as strong as it would have been years ago, but as long as there's breath, there's influence. Don't curse the past. Seize the day. Take every opportunity to make things right, to start over again. No matter what stage of life we're in, we can have a significant influence in the spiritual life of others. Here's a little story that I thought that I would share. Well, maybe not, because I don't seem to have it. But there are many stories that we know of in life where someone was, for example, talking to their children or when they're small or their grandchildren, and you tell them something that isn't true, and they don't challenge it. They don't question it. They just say, okay. Now, if they do that when we tell them something that's not true, how much better when we telling them something that is true? When we're telling them about God who created everything that exists, and you can put literally a picture in their mind. You know, you can just say, God spoke. And from those words, out of his mouth came everything that is. How did that happen? Kids get engrossed in these kinds of stories. And once we tell them these stories, when they're little, they don't forget. They don't forget. Now, I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I forget. I walk into a room sometimes and wonder, what am I doing in here? Why did I come in here? I'm sure nobody else in here has ever experienced that. But I've noticed, you know, I used to never lose anything. I could tell you where anything was. No matter how disarranged my house or my room was, I could tell you where anything was in that room. Now I go, where did I put... that's why I keep my keys here. I don't lose them. But little ones don't forget. So it's important that we put the things of God in their minds while they're little. We get them started in the right direction. We give them the foundation that they can build on, that your parents, grandparents can build on, the Sunday school teachers can build on, the minister can build on, and in some cases even the school teachers can build on. And I know my sister has shared stories from teaching about evolution, and some kid in the class always says, God made everything. We didn't evolve. And that's the way they should be. When they go to school, they should recognize the snare, the lie, that evolution is not true. It's not. And when they know that, they already have a better start than many of the others who don't realize they never heard anything else. We evolved. Well, if we evolved from apes, why shouldn't we be rioting and looting and acting like apes? If we're only animals, why shouldn't we act like animals? Pray for those folks. They need Jesus, and they need him now before it's too late. If something happens, if the military gets involved and they all get shot, where will their souls go? Pray for them, folks. Brother Bob, come on up and I'll turn it over to you. But happy Father's Day. Happy Mother's Day. God bless you. Raise our children for God.
Hymn this morning is number 381.
There's room at the cross for you. Let's stand and sing. If you have a need, come forward. If you need prayer, if you'd like to place your membership with us, if you just need to accept Jesus as your Savior, come. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and His grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found Him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, a Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. The blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Does anyone have anything to say this morning? Special testimony of any kind?
God is good.
God is good all the time. God is good. Brother Mitch, would you dismiss us, please?
Sure. I do want to say real quick, there was a lady who sent an offering through Wayne Morse. Thank you very much. God bless you. It's appreciated. The 30 pieces of silver so far was $104.50. The money that's been raised so far from the CDs that Wayne had graciously offered up has been $67. So God is blessing.
If you haven't gotten one yet, you need to.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I just listened to it yesterday, twice.
It is awesome. And they are free. It's just a donation. So if you can't afford to put anything in, take one anyway. It's okay. Wayne said so. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for our fathers, for our mothers. Thank you for our children and our grandchildren. Help us to influence each other together for your good and to grow your kingdom. As we leave here, we don't leave you. Help us remember, we are the church. You are the head. So let us honor you in all that we say and do this week and throughout our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad
I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this star. I'm part of the family of God. Have a blessed day.